He said, I was working for the county and a supervisor said the same thing you just said. And then I started working for the school district and a supervisor said the same thing you just said. And then I worked for a grocery store and that guy said the same thing you said. So my supervisors are getting worse. And I said, excuse me, do you think it might have nothing to do with your supervisors? Just a suggestion. You see, funny, we think everyone else has to change, but when we change, everything will start to change for you.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Yesterday, Pastor Wayne was looking at some of the miracles in the book of Acts and answering the question, why don't we see miracles like that in our lives today? He showed us that we need to learn to choose between right and wrong. Well, today, he'll take it a step further and teach us the importance of changing the way we think. Here is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, Blessings in Disguise.
And God is saying the first thing you can't do is you can't switch right for wrong and expect me to give you that which you would think is impossible. That which I want to give to your life and your future to be unlocked, the first step is you got to know to choose right from wrong. You say, but that should be easy. Even people in Jesus's day did it badly. It was a choice between Jesus and a murderer, Barabbas. Guess who they chose? Let's read about it. Acts 3, verse 14 through 15. Go. But you disowned the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, but put to death the Prince of Life. We still do that today. We know what God's best is, but we choose something else, hoping that no one will ever find out, but not knowing that it ain't about people finding out. It's about a spiritual debt that is incurred when we violate our own hearts and God's word. It has nothing to do with people. It has everything to do with our own soul and future. We lock our future up. And so God is trying to teach us the difference between right and wrong. How many of you have really craved and maneuvered and manipulated for something you really wanted, and then when you get it, you think, oh no, man, there's so much baggage to this. What did I do? How many of you? Come on. Yeah. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Yeah. We all do that. Even sometimes we pray for something and then realize, oh no, this is terrible. Now I'm stuck with this. You know, I'm actually glad that sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers. Yeah, I tell people, there was a girl named Cheryl when I was in high school. Man, I just prayed, God, just let her be my wife. She's so beautiful. She'll just be my wife. Man, I'll just serve you all the days of my life. Well, I saw her at our 25th year high school anniversary or reunion. I can't tell you how glad I am that God didn't answer my prayer. And I'm sure when she saw me, she too was glad that God didn't answer my prayer. But sometimes we crave for something as wrong, and then one bad decision leads to a next because you're covering up one from another. Story is told about this Christian lady with this big dog. And right next to her house was this non-Christian lady that raised rabbits. And her dog, this other lady, would just bark and bark rah, 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 at the rabbits. And the rabbit would just, you know, kind of go get messed up. And so the lady would just yell over the fence, you tell your dog to shut up. And the Christian lady would say, hey, come on, it's just a dog. And this other non-Christian lady said, you're supposed to be a Christian. You shut your dog up. It's just scaring my rabbits. Well, this dog continued to bark every day till after a while, this other lady started filing complaints with the dog pound, and the dog pound people would come and issue her complaints. And this lady with her dog, she's starting to get a little miffed at this neighbor of hers just turning her in all the time. And so they started having words. They started barking, you know, at one another. And then this lady would go and say, God, why did you put this lady that's just so insane next to me? God, do something with her. I mean, take her home. I pray you just take her home. Well, one day this lady was gone shopping or something, and the Christian lady came downstairs and her dog was missing. And she started whistling for her dog, and her dog comes around the corner and has this rabbit that was white rabbit in its mouth. Now, this rabbit that was once white now is just filthy, dirty, and dusty, and limp, and dead. And this lady, oh, no, we're already having trouble with this neighbor. God, what are we going to do? Oh, God. And then I got an idea. She took the rabbit out of the dog's mouth, put it under the shower, and got some shampoo, Prel, and started shampooing the rabbit, and put conditioner on the rabbit. Now, the rabbit's just dead, you know. And then got her blow dryer out, and fluffed it up really nice, and then snuck over to the lady's house and propped it up on the porch like this, and all fluffed up. And then quietly went back to her house. Well, an hour later, this lady comes home and she hears from her bedroom upstairs, this lady just came home. She hears just a blood-curdling scream from next door. So she runs downstairs and goes to the fence. Pray tell, what might the matter be? And her neighbor screams, she said, our rabbit died 2 days ago. We buried it and now it's back. See, one bad decision leads to another. And if we don't know right from wrong, we're in trouble. Our life is going to be spent on digging ourselves out of the holes we made for ourselves. And all of our energy and all of our time is going to be trying to sidestep, circumvent all the issues and all the consequences that we have brought on ourselves. And making secondary decisions and third decisions to cover up for the first one that was wrong in the first place. And so one of the first things that God's going to do in order to help us to see that things that would be impossible to become possible and the working of the Holy Spirit can move in our lives, the first thing, folks, is listen, God's going to just help you to learn what's right from wrong. Be careful, because in a world that we live in today, wrong is right and right is wrong. That's why you look at the book of Acts and you think, why were there so many miracles here and not now in the church? Because of that. And God wants to ratchet us back as radical Christians to what he used to do in the book of Acts. And he says it's still available today. Just like the law of physics, the Spirit of God has been here since day one. It's just in the book of Acts, they started to recognize the work of the Spirit and began to cooperate with it. And instead of trying to match God to their image, they said, God, change us into your image. And now his Spirit is changing us from glory to glory into his image by the Spirit of God. And if we as people of God in this age would become radical again, you'll begin to see the radical moving of the Holy Spirit. But it starts with us individually. And the first step is he'll just help us to know the difference between what? Right and wrong. Scripture says if the foundations are destroyed, what can even the righteous do? That's foundational. And once he's got that down, then he begins to tweak some more stuff. So here's the second thing that he does. Would you write it down? The second change is in our thinking. He changes our thinking. The way we think. Do you know how powerful your mind is? Your mind can be your greatest ally or your greatest enemy. Your mind can draw you nearer to Christ or shove you away from him. It can increase your faith, or it can incite and aggravate fear. It can garner hope, or it can drive hope far from you until you are afraid of your own shadow. It's your mind. You see, you got to remember this. When you come to Christ, your mind doesn't get saved. Your spirit does. But your mind has been trained poorly. It's been trained by friends, by television, by movies, by scary movies, horror movies, vampire movies. It can be trained by all kinds of weird stuff. Bathroom and locker room banter by your buddies or friends or girlfriends. All of these things. Now, your mind is trained wrongly. It thinks poorly. Now when you come to Christ, this thing has to be retrained. That's why the Bible says, put on the mind of Christ. Set your mind on things above and not on things beneath. Therefore, whatsoever things are true and honorable and right and just, if anything be worthy of excellence and anything be worthy of praise, let your minds dwell on these things. You understand? He's saying you've got to retrain your mind. Otherwise, it'll become your worst enemy. When you're trying to follow the Spirit, your mind pulls you the other way. It starts having you think wrong things. You got to talk to your mind. You say, what? Yeah, I talk to my mind. I tell it what to think and what not to think. Now you say, you're weird. No, you see, your spirit man, as it were, when your mind is thinking wrong things, you can recognize it, can't you? Sure you do. So what do? Change it. Just change it. If I'm thinking wrong things, I'm driving down the road and my mind is thinking wrong things and I know it's wrong, I just sometimes just shake my head. Nope, I reject that thought. So I'm just driving. Nope, I reject that thought. So if you see me driving down the road and I'm doing this, because I say to my mind, you will not be a tool for the devil. You will be a tool in the hand of the master. That's all you will be. Now get used to it. And so I change the way I think. Because you've got to remember, your mind can be your worst enemy. Let's say you had a friend, and the friend always demeans you, calls you an idiot, always tries to draw you from God. I'm going to church. No way. Your friend says, come, let's do dope. Come, let's do this. Well, that's not right what you're asking me to do. Oh, come on. It's all right. Come on. Let's do this. Now, if you had a friend like that and it went on for a couple of weeks and he just depressed you and told you how stupid you were and how you couldn't do anything right, after a couple of weeks of that kind of treatment, what would you do with your friend? What would you do with that friend? What should you do? Yeah, change your friend. Someone said kill. No. Change your friends. Now listen carefully. Your mind can be the same way. Your mind can be an evil friend that always demeans you, discourages you, depresses you, causes you to worry. Change your mind. You say, I'm not going to use it that way. I'm going to use it to bolster me, give me good advice, encourage me. So I train my mind. I reject that thought. No. The Bible says that you must put on the mind of Christ. In other words, if you're thinking something, stop and say, would Jesus think that way? No. Okay, change your mind. I'm going to think the way he thinks. Yeah, but I want to think. Shut up. You're going to think the way Jesus wants you to think because I want to have the mind of Christ. Otherwise, I tell you, your mind will become an enemy to you. And you'll start to serve the thoughts of your mind that have been trained by the world. No, don't you dare do that. You use your mind as a tool in the hand of the Lord. His name was C.W. Longnecker. He wrote a poem about the way we think. Because the scripture says, as a man thinketh, so is he. Listen to this poem. It's an interesting poem about our mind. He says this. If you think you are beaten, you are. If you think you dare not, you won't. If you think you'll lose, you're lost. And if you think you're outclassed, you are. You've got to think high in order to rise. And you've got to be sure of yourself before you'll ever win the prize. For out in the world we find success begins in a person's mind. You see, life's battles don't always go to the stronger or faster man. Sooner or later, the one who wins is the one who thinks he can. Now, I'm not talking about mind over matter, but I am declaring that what's in your mind does matter. So that we want to make sure that the Holy Spirit is going to change our mind. So what does he say? Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Let's read it in our scriptures together. Read it with me. Go. Therefore, repent and return, so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Would you underline the word repent and return? Now, sometimes people don't like the word repent because it means I sinned and I gotta say I'm sorry. Not always. It does include that. But let me give you the original etymology of that word and its original definition. The word repent is translated from the Greek, where the New Testament is written in Greek, and it's the word metanoia. Metanoia. The word meta means to change, and nuos is mind. So you know what the word repent means? Change your mind. If it's thinking the wrong thing, change your mind. Repent and return to the way God wants your mind to think, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. God says, my presence and my refreshing comes when you're thinking correctly and when you know how to change your mind when it's thinking poorly. That's it. I'm going to leave this family. That's it. I'm getting out of here. Change your mind. Would Jesus think that way? No. And change your mind.
Yeah, I don't like.
No, change your mind. Change your mind. Don't let your mind make you stubborn. Just change your mind. What's that called? It's called repent and return, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. That's what he's saying. You could repent 100 times a day. Doesn't mean you sin, just means you're correcting the way you think. You're developing the mind of Christ. That's all. Because you see, the Holy Spirit, in order to make that which is impossible possible, is he's got to improve us. He's got to help us to change the way we think. In order for God's blessings to be on your life, we need an improved, substantially improved version of the way we were. So, change. Hudson Taylor, who's a missionary long ago, he used to greet his friends. He wouldn't say good afternoon or good morning. He would shake your hand and say, have you repented yet today? See, what he was saying is, are you changing the way you think in order for God to unlock your future? And at times of refreshing might come from the presence of the Lord. How you doing? Or are you allowing your mind to crunch you down and suppress you into what you don't want to be? You teach your mind how to think because you have been given the mind of Christ. And let's read what it says here about the mind of Christ. Would you read 1 Corinthians 2:16? Go. But we understand these things, for we have the... Yeah. You will begin to understand these things when you put on the mind of Christ. Now here's the good news. When you let God help you choose right from wrong and help him tweak your mind every day, and when it's thinking wrong, you just shake your head and say, I reject that thought. Nope. I'm going to think the way Jesus wants to think. When the Holy Spirit sees that, he says, wow, let's begin choosing that one there. Let's begin moving in that person's life. Because here's the good news. When you're doing that, in fact, when I change, would you write down a number 3? My future begins to change. When I change, my future begins to change. See, here's the myth. When my future changes, then I'll change. Mm-mm. Ain't gonna happen. When I change, my future begins to change. Does God have plans for your future? Absolutely. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans not for your calamity, but for your welfare, in order that you might have a future and a hope. But I've got to grow into that. Otherwise, it'll be impossible. But it all begins with us changing. Would you write down in your last bullet there, if I change, everything will begin to change for me. If I change, everything will begin to change for me. If I change, everything will begin to change for me. Would you say that with me? If I change, everything will begin to change for me. Again, if I change, everything will begin to change. Here's a true story. I was having trouble with a staff person some years ago. Called him into my office. He was very slothful and messing up. I finally came to the point where after excuse that he would give to me, I said, you know what, I'm going to ask you to take a leave of absence to really pray if you're supposed to be here. Because if you are, then I really want you to put your hand to the plow like we all are. And I need you to crank with me. And so, would you just take a few days to see if this is where you're supposed to be? Because it's not for everybody. So go ahead, and I want you to take about 4 days off. He stood up and said, you're just like my other supervisors. I said, what? He said, my supervisors are getting worse and worse. I said, what are you talking about? This has happened 3 times already. I said, tell me about it. He said, I was working for the county and a supervisor said the same thing you just said. And then I started working for the school district and a supervisor said the same thing you just said. And then I worked for a grocery store and that guy said the same thing you said. And now you. I said, my supervisors are getting worse. And I said, excuse me, do you think it might have nothing to do with your supervisors? Just a suggestion. You see, funny, we think everyone else has to change, but when we change, everything will start to change for you. Because when you do, your future changes. And that's what the Holy Spirit's doing. Some of you are facing some impossible odds. Maybe with your life, your family, your relationships, your future. And you're coming to a point of desperation. And you're saying, God, how come you don't change the circumstances? How come you don't change the people? How come you don't change my future, my job, my boss? And the Holy Spirit says, you know, I've been here from the beginning of time. And if you'll recognize how I'm working and cooperate, everything will change for you. And what seems impossible will become normal. A good life, impossible, it'll become normal. An overcoming life, impossible, normal. And we can become a people of the book of Acts today, just like they did, if we'll become radical in our faith. Let me finish with an article that I wrote to my kids. When they were young, I was learning lessons, and instead of waiting for them to grow up so they would comprehend the lessons, when they were younger, I started writing them down in letter form called Gems Along the Way. And let me read one that I wrote to my kids about this very thing. Dear Amy and Aaron and Abby, I saw a lady's 5-carat diamond ring the other day. Wow, was that ever impressive. The diamond alone must have been worth $50,000. Now the band was a simple gold band and it had a setting with about 4 fingers that held that diamond. I thought to myself, my goodness, that setting had better be strong. It's holding on to $50,000. Now, although the setting doesn't get as much attention as the diamond, it is equally important. You see, any wise jeweler would never put a precious jewel in a poor, weak setting. Because if he did, one small bump and the gem would be lost forever. The strength and the quality of the setting will determine the security and staying power of the gem. Character is like the setting. Now, God has promised us wonderful gems, but without character, these gems, His promises, would be lost forever with the first bump. Now, the Holy Spirit will produce character in us if we'll cooperate. Prior to delivering God's gems, whether those gems are maybe a great marriage or an influential position or a ministry or finances or a family, each of these will require godly character. That's the setting that needs to be developed before the placement of the gem. So strengthen your setting. The Holy Spirit will help you to build your character. So cooperate with Him and learn to forgive. Learn to be diligent. Be honest. Learn to stay steady and faithful and keep commitments. And God will shape your character until it's strong and trustworthy. And then when God sees that the setting is ready, He'll be faithful to place His very best gems in your life. And when He does, that's when you'll shine. Love, Dad. P.S. I was thinking about buying that ring for your mom. But her hand is already so beautiful as it is that I didn't want to spoil her natural beauty by an old rock. So I decided against it. I love you anyway, Dad.
Yeah.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Blessings in Disguise by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.